Lecture 17, The Schools of Tibetan Buddhism.
In the last lecture, we talked about the first diffusion of the Dharma in Tibet, and at the end of that lecture, I gave you a long digression about an experience that I once had with a representative of the Burn tradition, that very mysterious tradition that is sometimes talked about as being the indigenous religion in Tibet. Actually, as I mentioned in that lecture, Burn is now so thoroughly infused with Buddhism that it's hard to distinguish it from the Buddhism that we see elsewhere in the Tibetan tradition. Now, in this lecture, we want to pick up the historical narrative again and talk about the next major phase in the development of Tibetan Buddhism. This is a phase that we call simply the later diffusion of the Dharma in Tibet. And this took place in the 11th century, beginning in the 1000s. Now, this is associated with a string of important teachers. One of these is a man by the name of Atisha, who was an important scholar who came from one of the monasteries in eastern India and went up into Tibet and developed a group of Tibetan disciples, taught in the monasteries, and established a lineage that recreated some of that scholarly tradition from India that we've talked about when we discussed Buddhist philosophy. There also were some indigenous Tibetan figures who traveled to India and studied with tantric saints in India and came back to Tibet to promulgate the tradition of tantric practice that we also have talked about in discussing the Indian sources of Tibetan Buddhism. One of these saints was the tantric saint Marpa, about whom I'll say a bit in a minute. Now, out of these very tentative beginnings, just individuals floating through Tibet, beginning to reestablish some of those old lineages, grew most of the schools that have dominated Tibetan Buddhism to the present day. So our job in this lecture is to become familiar with the four major schools of Tibetan Buddhism, to understand how they got started and how they have contributed to the shape of Tibetan Buddhism as we would encounter it today in Tibet, or for that matter, in the Tibetan diaspora and all those Tibetan communities that are scattered around the rest of the world, including North America. Now, the place to begin in any survey of the four schools of Tibetan Buddhism was with a school known as the Nyingma school. This is the only one that traces its origin back before the later diffusion of the Dharma, back to the time of Padmasambhava, who was that tantric, an important tantric saint who helped Trisong Detsen found the monastery at Samye. He was a tantric magician, you might say, and helped quell the demons that seemed to stand in the way of the establishment of this important monastery. The word Nyingma in the name of this school means the old school. So the name of the school refers back to this early phase in the history of Tibetan Buddhism. Now, because of the gap between the first diffusion of the Dharma and the later diffusion, the gap between the 9th century and the 11th century, the connection between Padmasambhava and this later Nyingma tradition has always been pretty problematic. To establish the continuity with Padmasambhava, the members of this school, of the Nyingma school, claim to have discovered secret texts that Padmasambhava left behind in Tibet, hid sometimes in the landscape, written on the rocks on the bed of a river, or hidden in some cleft of the rock in the mountain, or sometimes buried in the minds of his disciples. And they have attempted to discover these texts, to interpret them, and then promulgate them in the present era. These texts are known as termas in Tibetan, a word that means simply treasure. And some of the most important and authoritative figures in Nyingma history are people who have discovered these termas and been able in some way to disseminate them. Now, to look into the development of the Nyingma tradition in some detail, it's not a bad thing, actually, to take a look at the lives of some of these so-called tertuns, the people who discover treasures and then make them available to others in their community, because they give a pretty remarkable glimpse of the way authority and charisma are negotiated and passed on in this tradition, especially a tradition where the origins are so shadowy, so buried in this ancient period of Tibetan life.